Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We ask that you bless it mightily. Oh God, give us understanding. Help us to pay attention to your signs, Lord, and believe in them and understand what they speak of on the earth. So we thank you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to continue sharing with you concerning this sign, Revelation 12, 1 through 6. Let me just read it briefly. A great sign was seen in heaven. We discovered the word sign means a sign of something to come. In the Old Testament, the word uth is a sign of something to come. Okay? So signs generally speak of the things that are going to happen. The signs in the heavens speak of things that are going to happen on the earth. Okay? This is what we have to be really concerned about, right? The sign, I feel, was fulfilled on the 23rd, September the 23rd. It doesn't say everybody will even see this sign. It says, and a great sign was seen in heaven. A woman arrayed with the sun. Obviously, you would think that that's somebody that's arrayed with the S-O-N, sun, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And the moon under her feet, reflecting the light of the sun. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. I believe that's the doctrine of the 12 apostles. And she was with child, and she crieth out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And they were seen in another sign, a sign of something to come, right, in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his heads 7 diadems. Okay, so this represents something on the earth that we need to pay attention to, and that's the direction I'm going now, is these signs, what do they portend on the earth, right? And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. This is a great falling away of the stars that represent the seed of Abraham, which we are by faith, right? And did cast them to the earth. They lost their position in the heavens. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, she may devour her child, that is, the man-child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, which we discovered in chapter 12 and also in chapter 17 is the tribulation. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. And that's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation in chapter 12. There's another 3.5 in chapter 13. Okay. So this represents something that is coming on the earth, or something that is happening and coming on the earth, which I believe. I understand that the dragon has passed through, or almost passed through, Libra, which is the scales of justice. Okay. Yes, I do believe the dragon is coming to bring justice upon the earth, bring chastening to the wicked, etc., etc. I'm going to get into the dragon a little later, but right now I want to discuss this man-child, because almost everything I bumped into on the internet said this was the body of Christ, and nothing could be further from the truth, and it'll be a delusion, it'll be proven to be a deception. I can guarantee you that. It's not the body of Christ. Even in this text, we know that this is not talking about Jesus himself, because Jesus said to John, come up hither and I will show you the things that are to come to pass hereafter. And that was quite a while after Jesus had lived and died. So it's not talking about that. And we're also told he'll rule all nations with a rod of iron, which means, of course, caught up to the throne would be giving authority to the person, right, whoever this is. And we're also told in Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority. Now, that would be what the throne is all about, right? Over the nations. Authority over the nations. Well, you know, we've seen some people who had authority over the nations in the scriptures that represented a man child. Joseph was one. Daniel was one, etc., etc. And authority over the nations is going to be given to the overcomers. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter are broken to shivers, and as I also received of my Father. And of course, we're talking about that man-child to the throne. In 3:21 also, he that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. The overcomers are going to sit down with Jesus. Notice, it's not Jesus, but it's somebody that's going to overcome and sit down with Jesus and receive that same authority, which he did pass on to his saints already, but few have been able to actually apprehend and live in that. But the overcomers will. And so this is a sign in heaven. This man-child is very important that we realize this is not the body of Christ, although in a way it's the body of Christ. Paul spoke of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he said, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed from glory to glory into that image. So, if we're to be transformed into the very image of Christ, that's certainly overcoming, isn't it? And if we're to be transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, Paul tells us again what those glories are. They're star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. The sun glory of the highest. That's one who has put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his glory that is shining forth from his people as the Word lives in his people. As the Spirit and the Word live through his people, they are manifesting Christ. But the person that's at the throne represents somebody that has overcome and come to that position. Now, it's easy to prove this, real easy. I mean, there's no way to sustain the thought that this is the body of Christ, especially when the woman who is the body of Christ goes into the wilderness. And whoever this is that's caught up to the throne leaves them on the earth to go through the wilderness. Oh my goodness. So how can we prove who this is? It's very, very easy to prove who this is. Let's just take a look, okay? First of all, I want to say that according to Ecclesiastes 1:9, we're told that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So we're not adding to what was given. We're replicating what was given. There's nothing new under the sun. The things that have been are the things that shall be. And he repeats this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That which hath been long ago, and that which is to be, hath long ago been. The things that are coming have already happened. Notice. And God seeketh again that which is passed away. History always repeats, as they say. And that's the truth, because there's only one God on the throne. And he makes sure that all of history is a prophecy of the things to come. I was told one day, many years ago now, through a word of knowledge, that everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was about to happen again, except the cast of characters has been multiplied many times over. See, every time history repeats, it repeats with a larger group of people. God was just dealing with little Israel at first. Now he's dealing with a Gentile church that covers the earth. And he was dealing with a local beast at first, the Roman Empire. And now we've got a worldwide beast empire in the UN. Okay? Everything, history repeats on a larger scale. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Except it gets larger and larger. Okay? So, we saw in Revelation 12 something that looked exactly like Jesus that taught the woman in the wilderness for 3.5 years. Well, that looks a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? Well, what does that mean? It means that we've seen a sign. The things that have been are the things that shall be. In what way could this man-child be Jesus? Well, let's think about it now. When Jesus was caught up to the throne, did he take all his disciples with him? No. Who were they? The body of Christ. When he caught up to the throne, he left them on the earth, didn't he? To go through their own tribulation and to be perfected, didn't he? Yes, he did. Okay, so is there any proof that Jesus himself is a sign of something bigger to come? Well, absolutely. You know, let's just look at Isaiah chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 10. And the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign. Okay, this is the word uth, U-W-T-H, in our language. And it means a sign of something to come. Not something that's happening right there, but a sign of something to come. Okay, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men that you will weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign of something to come. He's going to give a sign. He's talking about a sign coming in the future of something that is to come beyond that. Notice. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Is God with us? He's not totally perfected in everybody, but yes, he's coming in us because God is the Word, and we are to be the Word made flesh. Jesus is to be manifested in us from glory to glory. We start out at star glory, having our own glory, but the stars can fall to the earth. And we go to moon glory, which is death, because the moon is dead, and it only reflects the light of the sun. That's the second stage of growth. And from there we go to sun glory, which is manifestation of Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? So when people say that Christ can't come in you, they don't know the scriptures, and they'll never go beyond being a sinner saved by grace, as they call it. But the Lord gave us something better than that. He made reconciliation. He gave us himself. He took away our sins. He put them on the cross. If we believe it, it'll happen. And he gave us his life. He exchanged. Reconciliation means an exchange. He exchanged his life for yours. And if we walk by faith, we'll have it. Jesus said, Be it unto you according to your faith. And as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. If you believe you're always going to be a sinner, that's what you're going to be. You'll never rise above that, because it's not the gospel. It's not the good news. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. And that happens on earth. Oh, no. Yes, it does for those who love the Word of God and devour the Word of God and want to see His life in us, which is what He promised. Okay? So, we've got this sign of a woman giving birth to a child. Okay, so Jesus came along. He was Emmanuel. He was the sign. He was the sign of what? Something to come. And does the Bible tell us what that is? Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let Jesus point this out to you, that this sign of something to come in John 16. All right? And we'll just start in 16. 16 and 16. Jesus is teaching. And he's speaking about this very same thing. How that he was a sign of something to come. Okay? Because, you know, Jesus is coming in two ways. We've discovered from the scriptures. He's coming as a parousia, which is the time of the what people call the rapture, although they're very wrong about when the rapture happens. But before he comes as the parousia, he comes as the epiphany. And that's the shining forth from. Shining of what? Shining of the glory of God out of his people. This is something that's visible in the spiritual realm. A glory is visible in the spiritual realm. He is shining out as the Word of God is being manifested in His people. Not just people that read it and are hearers of the Word, not doers of the Word, deluding themselves, but somebody who reads it to obey it. It's a glory shining forth from that person. Now, he said we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In other words, we accept that we don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in us. Which is what Paul's good confession was. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, okay, that's our faith. That's our good confession that we don't live anymore. If you are baptized into Christ, you are baptized into his death. He says, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. You can't go running around telling everybody I'm going to be a sinner the rest of my life, and that's the only thing I have a hope to do. Because you got no faith. Right? Okay. Jesus in John 16. The sign was Jesus, born to Mary, born of Israel. There's two ways the woman is manifested there. Mary, who was a virgin, and then there was Israel, the larger body. He was born to the larger body of the woman, but inside the woman was Mary, a virgin. Okay, we're looking at the virgin there in Revelation 12, but what you're not seeing is the larger woman. It's because it says woman. Okay, the larger woman there was natural Israel. That's the sign. That's the sign. Jesus, born to Mary, of Israel, is the sign of what? Something to come. Oh my. Yeah. Well, did Jesus agree with that? He certainly did. He said, a little while, John 16:16, a little while and you behold me no more. And again a little while and you shall see me. Some of his disciples therefore said one to another, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you behold me not, and again a little while, and you'll see me. And because I go to the Father. Okay. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We know not what he saith. Jesus perceived that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves concerning this? They shouldn't have asked themselves, right? They should have asked him. Do you inquire among yourselves concerning this, that I said a little while, and you behold me not, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament. Okay, so now here's his disciples. This is his church. They have come out from among them. They come out of the apostate denominations of Judaism for a sign for us, by the way. And they're following Jesus, right? And this is his body on the earth. Okay? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, people think they know what this means, but he tells you exactly what it means on a larger scale than many people even think, you know. And, of course, they did weep when Jesus left, and they lamented. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail. Now, wait a minute. He just got through saying they were the ones weeping in travail. Now he says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. So that she's pointing to them. He's saying, you're this woman. Why? Because they were his church, his called out ones, which is what church means. They weren't the denominations, folks. They were the called out ones. They came out of the denominations, okay? The reprobate, dead religious systems, right? So a woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow because their hour is come. Okay, so they've been there. But when she is delivered of the child, okay, here's a woman with a man child. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man child, is born into the world. And ye therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. So he's coming as a baby. He said he was coming as a baby to a woman. Oh my goodness. Now you can read all the way through the book until you get to Revelation 12, and there you'll get to find that woman, but you won't find her before that. So, but David, I thought you said it wasn't Jesus, because it was something that was to come after Jesus. Yes, but what comes after Jesus? If he's the sign of something to come, and it has to be repeated exactly because history has to be repeated, then what are we seeing in Revelation 12? A repeat of history. Now, how can we see the repeat of history? And how can that be Jesus with it not being Jesus? Okay? Well, remember, Jesus said, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. So some people have come to sun glory, because they've put on the Son. They put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're commanded to do. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, like we're commanded to do, you see. So, it's not Jesus in his first body. Remember that Jesus went away to come back in a larger body, which we call the body of Christ, right? Well, has Jesus come back in that body yet? No. I mean, you don't have to look very far to see that that's not Jesus in a lot of people that we call Christians. And that they must be something less than Jesus. Lest they're star glory. And do they fall away? Oh, they do fall away. And there is a great falling away. The tail of the dragon casts a third of the stars to the earth. They do fall away. Okay, do you think if Jesus was manifested in you, you would fall away? Well, no, he didn't fall away. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we're looking at a repetition of history here. And he himself said that this was going to happen. Okay, so since it's a larger scale, we're looking for something bigger. Now, you know, we can study this man-child throughout the Bible. The thing is, the Bible has to explain itself. We can't just come up with something and pick it out of the air, which is what I'm seeing on the internet. People are just plucking things out, that the things that they already believe, so they force it into there. They force it to fit. Square peg, round hole, right? Force it to fit. We just have to do something to get out of here. We have to fly away. No matter what kind of glory is going to be manifested in the tribulation, no matter that there are sons and daughters of God here just waiting to come into the kingdom by our witness, never mind. We're not going to sacrifice our lives for them. That's the thought of some people. I just want to fly away. Let me get out of here. We'll force the round peg into the square hole. You know? It's ridiculous. And it's not giving up our lives for the brethren. It's escapism. Okay? Let me out of here. You know? So, history has to repeat. And he tells us how it's going to repeat. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory. That is that manifestation of Christ in you. The whole creation's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, not just the children of God. A child is a servant, Paul said, not a son. The manifestation of sonship looks like Jesus. Let everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked. Well, Jesus had power. And Jesus believed he had power over the demons. And he prayed for the sick and he cast out demons. And most of the church isn't there and they're not doing the job they were commanded to do. You can't accuse most of the church of looking like Jesus. It just won't work. But we're talking about a manifestation of Jesus in a larger body. Who is this? Well, Jesus was called the first fruits, 1 Corinthians 15. This larger body is also the first fruits unto Jesus in our time. But there's been many man-childs, is what I want to tell you. All we've got to do is look at the repetitions of history, and we will understand. John 16 was very plain. This is what the Lord is telling us. Okay? Okay, let me just share a few more things with you. Let's talk about the throne as we talk about Jesus, okay? As we talk about this manifestation of the sons of God. Is Jesus only coming in his first fruits? No, they're just the first fruits. What did the first fruits do in Jesus' day? Well, in Jesus' day, the first fruits were used to show the people of God, what God expected of them, what God was offering to them in this covenant, to explain to them how the kingdom was going to come by the teaching, by the casting out of demons, by the healing of the sick, by all these things. He demonstrated what the first fruits would do. He was called the first fruits. So, if history repeats, we have a first fruits, just like they have in every generation throughout the Bible. There's been a first fruits. There's been first fruits man-child throughout the Bible. The largest number of them is about to, and the most complete and the most perfect of them is about to be manifested. What is their purpose? Their purpose is to raise people up, just like Jesus. He was raising people up to know God. God was coming in them through his word. He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The disciples said, "Where else can we go, Lord? You have the words of life." So he was speaking words that had life in them, the life of God. So, what are these first fruits? They're the first fruits to bear the fruit of God. Remember the parable of the sower? Jesus sowed the seed, and some of the seed, one of the four, by the way, one of four different groups of people, by the way, bore fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, that's the three same glories there. That's star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. 100-fold is sun glory. Okay, so the Lord is coming again in a body of people who have borne fruit of the Word and of the Spirit of God. Most of Christianity has denied to even receive the Holy Spirit of God with the manifestations that we read about in the book of Acts and in the life of Jesus. They've denied this. They don't want this. Well, there's no way to walk as Jesus walked unless you're obedient and receive His Holy Spirit as commanded. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with this power, this gift of the Father. In other words, don't go preaching everywhere. You get this first. So what do? Oh, we make a Bible college. We'll get around that. We'll make a Bible college. We'll give them a certificate. This will give them the right to go out and preach our people. But then their people only look like them. They don't look like Jesus. So something's wrong. Strange children here. You look at the child, you should see the father, right? Well, what you look at the child nowadays and you see is, yep, that's right. You do see the father, but it's a dead religion and not going anywhere and fizzling as it goes, okay? So this manifestation of the fruit of Jesus in his first fruits is to be passed on to the body, to the second fruits, if you like, third fruits, fourth fruits, whatever, you know, so that all the body of Christ comes back into the image of God, comes back to the scriptures. It's reformed. Who are these Mentiles? They're reformers. Are they anybody special? No, they're just a body of flesh that the Lord has decided to come in, but they are overcomers. They have overcome their flesh. And the Lord is coming in them by His Word. Because that Word is what goes into you, according to the parable of the sower, and changes you into the life of Christ. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Okay. It goes in and it changes you. And this is what's going to happen. And we've seen it somewhat happen in our day already. People receiving the Word, realizing that the Word is not to be transgressed, and we don't have a right to interpret it ourselves. We let the Word interpret the Word. Amen? So, let's talk a little bit just for a moment about this throne. This man-child who overcomes is caught up to the throne. He sits down with Jesus, so you can see that this man-child is not Jesus, naturally speaking, but Jesus lives in them, right? That's the epiphany. The epiphany is the glory shining out of His people. You put this Word in your heart, and you believe this Word, and you act on this Word. That is Christ shining out of you. And when this glory shines forth, people get to see it. People get to live in it. And it is transferable, just like any anointing is transferable, you know. So, let me talk about this throne. The man-child is caught up to the throne. Okay, so I'm going to point out again now, just as Jesus was caught up to the throne, and He left His body of people on the earth that He called His church, the man-child is caught up to the throne, and the woman is still left on the earth. Now, when Jesus was caught up, Israel was still on the earth. That was His people that He had to first come to, because that was they were still in covenant at that time till they refused it. Okay, and Mary, too, was on the earth. None of them got to leave. Only Jesus left, and He was the head. He was the head of the body, Ephesians says. But the body was left on the earth. So don't say the body of Christ is going to be raptured there as the man-child because the woman is left on the earth. That's ridiculous. We know who the woman is. Look at the repetition of history. Okay? So, but this man-child is caught up to the throne. What does the throne represent? Authority. Did Jesus give us His authority? Yeah. How many people are actually exercising it? Well, only the ones that overcome. That's what it says. Okay? So we just have to believe that. So let me point out something about the throne that you may not know. There's something about the throne on earth that you may not know. Remember, Daniel's vision of the image of the beast, that there was a mountain on the earth, and on the top of that mountain there was a stone that rolled down out of that mountain and hit the image of the beast in the toes and crumbled the whole thing. And he told us that was the saints of God. Daniel 2, Daniel 7, saints of God in this day. He said, with you I'm going to break in pieces the nations, he said about his people. With you I'm going to break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. That's because they're apostate. With you. Okay, so what about this throne? Well, let me point out a couple of verses to you. Number one, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, and we'll look at verse 7. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants that stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. This was Solomon, the prince of peace, the son of David. Who else was called the son of David? Jesus was, right? And he was the prince of peace, Solomon, right? Blessed, so you can see signs in anything. There's parables everywhere, you know. Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighteth in thee, to set thee on his throne. Whoop. And whose throne was this? This was David's throne. Uh-oh. Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighteth in thee, to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God. Now, who could he trust with this much authority? Only someone that he lived in. Someone who has borne his fruit. How can two walk together except they be agreed? This is somebody that's come into agreement with the Lord. They're not doing their own thing. They probably didn't go to Bible college like Jesus. So now I'm going to read again. To set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loveth Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do justice and righteousness. Well, do you have two witnesses for that, David? Yeah, I do. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29 and 23. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord. Uh-oh, there it is. Did you know that? And by the way, this was the same throne that David sat on. David sat on the throne of the Lord. Did you know that David was caught up to the throne? Do you know that Solomon was caught up to the throne? They both represent the same thing here. Because today we have sons of David. Jesus came in a body of the son of David, Romans 1 and 3, but was declared to be the son of God according to the flesh, right? The son of God according to the spirit. And but he was of the seed of David according to the flesh, Romans 1 and 3. Of the seed of David according to the flesh. So he came in a body of the son of David. That's a literal son of David. In the New Testament, we are spiritual Israelites. We're not physical Israelites. We don't want their land. We don't want what's been given unto them. But we have a job to do, and God's, you know, bringing us into his image so that we can do it. Okay? It's not him that's born after the flesh that are the sons of God, but them that are born after the Spirit that are the sons of God. So Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. Well, okay, now just think about this. The throne of David is the throne of God on earth. Jesus ruled through David and through Solomon. And the throne of David equals the throne of God. And Jesus comes in a body of the son of David in these days, but not a physical son of David, but a spiritual son of David. We are Israelites that are not circumcised in flesh, but in heart, Paul said. We're circumcised in heart. That's a spiritual being. We are sons of Abraham through faith, by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Okay? So, we're the New Testament people of God, the church. Now Jesus spoke to somebody that was a relatively good Jew, Nicodemus. He told him, you have to be born again. Now, for some reason, the church doesn't believe that nowadays. You must be born again. A Jew is just a Jew unless he's born again. Then he becomes a part of the church. There is only one covenant. That's a big fat lie that there's two covenants. No, the old covenant passed away, and there's only one covenant left. If you think the Jews have a covenant, where's their sacrifices? They don't have them. Where are their priests? They don't have them because they have to have the red heifer in order to sanctify the priests, in order to have the sacrifices. They got nothing. They got no covenant, old covenant or new covenant, unless they're born again. And there is only one covenant left, the new covenant. That's the only one that's left. New makes the old one old, like the Bible says, right? So, in the new covenant, that's how a Jew gets to be born again, child of God, etc. Now, we don't have to make up our mind which covenant we're under. Some are confused about that. And Paul tried to straighten that out in Romans and in Galatians. And there's still people that's not listening. But we have this kingdom that's been given unto us. And in this case, we know that Solomon was caught up to the throne of God. He had dominion over Israel. He said, he that overcometh will sit down with me in my throne. Okay? So, I actually had a vision of that, of going to the throne. Maybe if we get through in time, I'll share that with you. So, let's go on. Let's look in Jeremiah 33, 17. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Oh my, never want. He's always going to have a son to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Is that true in the natural? No, it's not. So how is it true? Well, we'll read on. We'll see, okay? Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to burn meal offerings and to do sacrifice continually. But they can't do that. That's not even true in the natural anymore. They can't do it. They're waiting for the red heifer. So they don't have a covenant. 21. Then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he shall not have a son to reign upon his throne. I'm going to go back to verse 19. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, so that there shall not be day and night in their season. We still got that? Yep. Mm-hmm. Then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he shall not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, the ministers. Verse 22. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sands of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant. The Lord is multiplying the seed of David. When history goes on, remember, it always repeats with larger groups of people. When Jesus came into the new covenant, by the way, what did his body become? A corporate body. Now, you can't say everybody is the body of Jesus. You might say they're 30%, 60%, or 100% the body of Jesus. But right now, that man-child is that 100%, the body of Jesus. Jesus lives in him. Now, some people say, well, Jesus lives in me. How much of Jesus lives in you? How much of the Word, which is the seed, which brings forth the man-child in us, how much? You know, a lot of people are ignoring the Word because they're taught to ignore the Word. They're taught that this passed away and that passed away. They can't possibly bring forth anything that looks like Jesus. So Jesus doesn't live in them. They're not overcoming. They have an idol. Preachers, a religion, They have idols, so they can't overcome because they can't obey the word because they've thrown it out the window. But he says here, I multiply the seed of David. Wow. Okay, let's go on down. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant of the day and night, verse 25, stand not, if I have not appointed the ordinance of heaven and earth, then will I also cast away the seed of Jacob and of David my servant, so that I will not take of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, by the way, who is the seed of Abraham now? Well, according to Paul, it's only those who walk by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. That's just what he said. It has to be. Just like Nicodemus was told, he seemed to be a good person, wanting understanding, so on, but he still wasn't born again. Jesus said, you have to be born again. And born again is more than just accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Men made that lie up. Okay? So the seed of David and this throne of David. Okay? What's this all about? Remember, we have to... What's going to be repeated is the sign. Okay? Luke chapter 1. I'll read 32. And 33. And he shall be great. Yes, this is Jesus. So, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. This is the virgin, right? The sign that had to come to pass in order to point to something to come. Okay. And bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. Son, not child. There's two different words. There's technon, which is child, and there's huion, which means son. Okay? And we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons because that's what Jesus is, a son. Okay? And he's the firstborn among many brethren. Many other sons are coming to glory, the Bible says, right? So, call the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Okay, Jesus sat on the throne of David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, of his kingdom there shall be no end. So, Jesus is coming to rule on the throne of David forever. Where is that throne of David? You know? Well, let's look a little bit further. Acts 2 and 29 says, Brethren, I may say unto you freely that the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us unto this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne. So, he foreseeing this spake of the resurrection of Christ, that neither was he left unto Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Now let me talk about this resurrection. We are united with Christ in the likeness of his death, so that we might also be of the resurrection. Romans 6. He says, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. So he said and Paul said the same thing about resurrection life, you know, in Philippians chapter 3. And he called it perfection, resurrection life. Okay? He was wanting to be a part of the out-resurrection from among the dead. That's what it literally says, by the way. And he called it perfection, maturity. Same word, okay? Maturity in Christ. That means Christ in you, Christ manifested in you. We want to walk in his steps, right? You can't say you abide in Christ if you're not walking in his steps. That's what John said, 1 John, right? Okay? So now he's saying that Jesus came into this throne of David, which we discovered is on the earth, and it's over God's people. Are you saying he didn't go catch up to the throne of God, the physical throne of God? No, he did. But remember, the physical then portends the spiritual. First that spiritual revelation, you know. First the physical revelation and then the spiritual. First the natural and then the spiritual. So Jesus was the natural. Jesus made parables, and every one of these parables was a natural thing, like grazing corn, you know, where you sow it, how you sow it. And then, but he wasn't talking about raising corn, was he? Now, the people that think that, they're really hung up on the letter. But no, he was talking about raising up people in his image, right? So, he was caught up to the throne of God through his resurrection. We are here to die to self and be resurrected in Christ. Christ living in you is his resurrection life in you. You say, is there a physical resurrection? Oh, yes, of course there's a physical resurrection. It's for those that are resurrected. The physical resurrection is for those who have been resurrected in Christ. It's for bearing fruit, right? Notice there were, in the parable of the sower, there was four different groups that didn't make it. And they fell away for one reason or another, but they didn't make it. Only one brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And of course, when the Lord comes to look at his crop, he's only picking the fruit. A lot of people think he wants the plant. No, he don't want the plant. You just plow the plant back under. You don't use the plant. No, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, the Bible says. You have to have a new body in heaven, a born-again body. But only the people who have a born-again spirit and a born-again soul are going to get a born-again body. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You bear the fruit of your spirit, of God's spirit in your spirit, in your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions. If this is not important to you, it'll never happen. And if you want to just stick your toe in the door, you're never going to make it either. Maybe your toe will. But anyway... So, once again, we're seeing the same thing. Okay? So, the throne of David. He went to the throne of David. But, well, then how all these years, who all these years has been sitting on the throne of David? Because he said it would continue on, you know? And it still continues on. Well, for instance, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read, I think I'm going to back up just a little bit here. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because we were united with him in the likeness of his death and his resurrection when we got baptized. And then, in other words, when we got baptized, like Romans chapter 6 is talking about, we went down, the old man died, we came up, and it was no longer us that lived. It was Christ who lived in us. He called it a uniting with him in his death and his resurrection. See? So that's our faith. And a lot of people don't have that faith at all. They don't believe that in the slightest. They believe they're always going to be sinners. They're just forgiven. Well, they could have stayed in the Old Testament for that. You know, because they were forgiven. Okay. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted the sin out of us so we'd be fit for his kingdom. Right. Well, but they're not going to cooperate with that. But that's what this is about. Notice, he begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Did you hear that? So this is what God wants. This is not a fly-away doctrine, just as dirty and filthy as you are. He's wanting sanctified people, and that's why they're planted in the earth in the first place. Okay? And it's reserved in heaven for you. All these things are reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Because he that endureth to the end, Jesus said, the same shall be saved. You need to endure the trials of your faith. You need to endure the temptations of the devil, just like Jesus did. You need to endure all things until this is manifested. And you have to endure while you're walking faith. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is proved by fire, through fire, may be found unto the praise and glory and honor of the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, not having seen, you love, and on whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now listen. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. We have the opportunity to have a saved soul, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Verse 11, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them, the prophets, the Spirit of Christ which was in them, did point unto when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them. So the Spirit of Jesus was in them. The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets. Have you noticed the prophets? They were leaders. They had dominion. When they spoke, things happened. Isn't it awesome? You want me to give you an example? Okay, I'll give you an example of a man-child that was caught up to the throne who was a prophet because Jesus lived in him. The Spirit of Christ was in him. So if David never wanted a man, from the time of David up until now, he's always had a man to sit on his throne. How can that be? And since Jesus sat on his throne as a type and a shadow and a sign of the things to come, there are people who are overcoming and sitting down in the throne. But what about between Jesus and way back when? Since David? Well, there's other people that have sat in the throne that are man-childs. Okay? I'll point this out to you. Ezekiel, chapter 1. Verse 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Whoa. As the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man upon it and above. Okay. So here's a throne. And let's go down just a little bit. In verse 28. And the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud, that's the grace covenant, right? In the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. And this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Somebody's on the throne that has the glory of the Lord. And this is, of course, the Lord himself. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So, Ezekiel was caught up to the throne of God. Now, did he take the woman with him? No. Matter of fact, they were in bondage. And that's why he was getting caught up to the throne, so that he could go to them that were in bondage. Because they were rebellious, just like the church. The church is totally rebellious against the Word of God. They don't believe anything I've said today. And I've just quoted the word. And he said unto me, Son of Man. Did you ever hear anybody else called Son of Man? Jesus was called the Son of Man. Ezekiel was called the Son of Man all through Ezekiel. Not quite all the way to the end, but yep. Son of Man. Stand upon thy feet, and I will speak with thee. And the Spirit entered into me. There's that anointing of the man-child. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. Well, in other words, he wasn't able to stand on his own, and nobody else is either. But I tell you what, if you walk by faith in Jesus, he can stand up in you. And these people that are caught up to the throne, they're going to get the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They will have Jesus speaking through them. Remember, the prophets had the Spirit of Christ speaking through them. And they had dominion over everything. They came to set the captives free, to open the prison to them that are bound. They were resisted and they were hated, just like Jesus. They were thrown in prison, just like Jesus. They were a repeat. They sat upon David's throne because the one in them was Jesus. And I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Now, that's the body right there. That's the body of God's people right there. This guy is just happens to be a head of the body of God's people. He was sitting on the throne. He had dominion. People came to the prophet to find out what God had to say, or to get healed, or to get delivered, or to see a miracle. They came because it was there in him, just like it was in Jesus, right? Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus was in them on the throne. I send thee to the children of Israel, to nations that are rebellious, because God's people are in all of the nations. Remember, natural Israel is a type and a shadow of the church. Just as they are spread out through all the nations, so is the church. And just as we need to come back to our promised land, you know, 1 Peter's promised land of the holy nation, which is none of those nations out there are holy. We have one holy nation, and it is God's people. Okay, we have to come out of them, come out from among them. Don't pledge allegiance to them, because they're all reprobate. Your allegiance is to God, not to them. To nations, he's sending this man-child to the nations, just as he sent the man-child in Revelation to the woman in the nations. That are rebellious, which have rebelled against me, they and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. And so it is unto this very day. But these prophets, Jeremiah, you know, they call the weeping prophet, he went through crucifixion. He was cast into prison, just like Jesus, just like Joseph, right? Oh my. Did you ever notice that there were people who ruled for 40 years, David, Solomon, Moses? Because David was a man-child, he was called to the throne. Solomon was a man-child, called to the throne. Moses was a man-child who led God's people through the wilderness. No, they didn't fly away. They went through the wilderness to get to the promised land. And how about the people that were 30 years old? Joseph and David and Jesus? They began to rule when they were 30 years old. They're all types of the man-child. Joseph is a clearer type of Jesus as there is, you know. There's, you know, things that we're supposed to be picking up on as we read. So he went to these rebellious people, and it is a very good representation of the church. Most of them have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. They do not believe in the gifts anymore. They don't like speaking in tongues, even though it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. They've been told it's no good for today, but they've got no proof. Nobody's ever given them any proof. Even Jesus spoke in tongues. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And it's being interpreted, they said. My God, why did it have to be interpreted? Didn't they understand his language? Okay, so even Jesus spoke in tongues. And yes, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Why reject it? Why have you rejected baptism, for goodness sake? The baptism of the Spirit and the baptism of the water. Why have you rejected it? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, I wouldn't want to take a chance, would you? Okay, so his people are rebellious. They sit in churches that are not churches, who have never come out of the denominations. We must come out from among them and follow the Lord. Those disciples came out of the denominations of Judaism and they followed the Lord. They came from different backgrounds, but they followed the Lord. And we know who the Lord is. He's the Word. Now, don't go to a dead church. Read your Word. Read your Word. Don't get proud. Humble yourself before God. Love the disciples. Love all of God's people, even as ignorant as they might be. Love them. We've all been ignorant, right? Don't judge them. Love them, you know. Forgive everybody from the heart so that you can have the blessings of God. God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud, right? And he says, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Oh, yes, they are. A rebellious house. Yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with thee. Yes, they are. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house, that thou and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a most rebellious. And he said 30:3-4. And son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, speak with my words unto them. And of course, you know, that is Jesus speaking out of them to the people of God. They're exercising dominion in all ways. Right? So, the prophets were sitting upon the throne of David. But it really wasn't them. It was Jesus sitting upon the throne of David because it was Jesus speaking out of them. They were willing vessels for Jesus. We must be willing vessels for Jesus. The flesh profits nothing, the Bible says. But we have to be willing vessels for Jesus. We offer ourselves up to Him. We repent, which means change our mind. We believe this Word, so that this Word has power when it goes into us and to recreate Jesus in us. And He is able to live through us. He left an individual body because He was speaking to an individual nation. And he had to speak to the nations of all the earth. So he came back in a corporate body. And the first fruits of that corporate body is the man-child ministry. And so he talks about these people that are rebels, and he's going to them. They're in captivity. He wants to bring them out of captivity. And the people of God are in Babylonish captivity today. It's very obvious. And I know that they're taught that they're okay with God. Just stay there and don't grow up in Him. Don't bear His fruit. You're okay. You're forgiven and so on and so forth, you know. But if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins and a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. Now, you say, but David, that was the Jews. No. Let's read it. Romans Chapter 2. Don't disregard this because somebody told you to disregard this. You are ignoring the Word of God. Listen to what he says. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart. In the spirit, not in the letter. What is it that blinds people? The letter. whose praise is not of men but of God. Now, who is a Jew? Okay, if Jesus came along and 70 weeks is determined upon thy people and thy holy temple, and Jesus changed the people and he changed the temple when he came, now it's determined on a different people. Did you hear what I said? Did Jesus change the people? Well, obviously. I mean, we call it the church now, the called out ones. And doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, you can be a part of that. The first Jews were a part of that. Were they a part of Judaism? No. Were they a part of the old covenant? No. They came out of that covenant because God made a new covenant. They joined the new covenant. They are Christians now. Okay? So, you notice, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart. In other words, the flesh has to be cut away from your heart. Look at Romans 9, 25 through 27, as I turn there. He saith in Hosea, I will call that my people which was not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved. Now, who was not my people? What is the people that was not Jews? Gentiles. I will call that my people which was not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the sons of the living God. Did he prove this? Yes, he did. But before we read that, let's read this next verse. It says, and Isaiah crieth concerning Israel, if the number of the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, it is the remnant that shall be saved. A remnant of Israel, of natural Israel, will be saved. Only a remnant of natural Israel will be saved. He said so. Now, and when will they come back in? When the fullness of the Gentiles has come back in. That's what he said in Romans chapter 11. When they're going to turn back to God. Remember, they're going to turn back to God. This remnant is going to come in. Let's read Romans 11, and I'll just read in verse 9. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see. Same thing he said in the parable of the sower. Unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. Now he was talking to Jews in both cases. But a remnant of Jews came in when Jesus spoke to them. And the rest turned away. And so it has been ever since. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow thou down their back always. I say then, did they stumble that they might fall? God forbid, but by their fall salvation has come to the Gentiles. They fell, okay? But that's not the purpose of their fall, right? To provoke them to jealousy. He still wants to bring them back in, and he tells you when he's going to do it, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, okay? Now, if their fall is the riches of the world and their loss the riches of the Gentiles, how much more shall their fullness? Amen. Amen. We invite all Jews to come in, right? A remnant has been coming in for many years, and a remnant is going to come in. A larger remnant is going to come in. But I speak to you that are Gentiles, insomuch that I am an apostle of Gentiles. I glorify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy them that are my flesh, and may save some of them. For if the casting away of them is the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? And if the first fruit is holy, so is the lump. Well, amen. Our first fruit is Jesus. But in the natural and in the world, we have a first fruit ministry coming of reformers, and they are Jesus in a body, a corporate body this time, just as he did when he came into the New Testament. But these people can say, Christ lives in me. The most of the body can't say that. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, thou being a wild olive tree was grafted in among them, and didst become partaker of them of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So they were broken off. They were broken off. And when they were broken off, God grafted in the church. Okay? Now they can come into the church, but that's coming into the new covenant. Okay? But they were broken off. So don't say that the woman is Israel going into the wilderness when she's, you know, got the clothed in the sun. Come on now. How many natural Israelites are clothed with the sun? Only those that come into the kingdom and into the church. Only. So the woman isn't Israel. The woman is the church. She's going into the wilderness. Glory not over the branches, but if thou gloriest, it is not thou that bearest the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. See, he did break them off so that we could be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief, they were broken off. There you go. Do they believe in Jesus? Yeah, what they believe about Jesus is not good. And how many of them over there are actually Jews anyway? Well, no, not too many. You know, I mean, not religiously. They're agnostics, a lot of them, or just downright, you know, unbelievers totally. But he said, by their unbelief, they were broken off. They're broken off of the olive tree. And thou standest by faith. So you better learn what faith is, and you better walk in it, because that's the only way you can stay. He said, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. So you have to continue in the faith of the gospel. And some people don't even know what the gospel is. They're a tear sitting on a pew. They don't know the gospel. They don't know how to come into the image of Jesus Christ. The gospel is 2 Corinthians 3:18. We behold in a mirror, we all with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. How many have an unveiled face? No. A whole lot of the church are totally veiled. They have no idea about the gospel that's being offered. That we can accept the end from the beginning. That we call the things that be not as though they were. That we believe that we don't live anymore since the day of our baptism and our act of faith. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. And when God hears that, he justifies you. He accounts you righteous because you have believed his word. No, they believe they're going to be sinners. They don't believe in the power of Jesus to save sinners. They don't believe in it. And by unbelief, they've been broken off. And you can tell by their actions that they're broken off. God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. Behold then the goodness and the severity of God. Towards them that fell, severity, but towards thee, God's goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. It's not unconditional security. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And many are. And those stars falling from heaven, they've been cut off, reprobated. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wast cut out of that which is by nature a wild olive tree, and was grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Pretty cool, huh? For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that a hardening in part hath befallen Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They've been hardened. And so, listen, notice. Let me read it again. A hardening in part. Now, we know those 12 Jews that followed Jesus in the 70 and so on and so forth. That was a remnant that followed him. They joined us together in a new covenant, okay? But it's befallen Israel, a hardness in part. In other words, some of them are not going to turn to God until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. Well, David, didn't you just say only a remnant? That's a remnant of natural Israel. Only a remnant of them is going to be saved. But notice who Israel is here. Notice who we saw that Israel was. It's those who are circumcised in heart. And in this, they were broken off. We were grafted in. There's been a remnant of them up until a time of a much greater remnant coming in. At the end, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. But it's only a remnant of them that's the natural Israelite that's going to be saved. There's nothing that says all of the natural Israelites are going to be saved. He's telling you who Israel is here, just like he already told you who Israel is. It's those that are grafted into the olive tree. This is all Israel. And who does it include? Oh, it includes both Jews and Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ, who are born from above. This is all Israel. So don't say the woman is Israel. Jesus can't be born from Israel today. Jesus is being born from the church today. The fruit of Jesus is being born from the church today, not Israel. Israel is not dressed up with the sun. They don't believe in the sun. The overwhelming majority do not believe in the sun. Okay, when will the bigger remnant come into the church? When the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. I know when that is because the Bible tells us that, but I don't have time to go there right now. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. Who is Zion? Well, God told John who Zion was. It's the bride. It's the bride. It's that pure virgin out of which is coming a leader. Okay, since Jerusalem was the bride, as was told to John, and David was the head over Jerusalem, and David was caught up to the throne to rule over Jerusalem and over the rest of Israel, which in all you would call the church. Okay, can you see the parable there? It's so simple, you see. Very simple. Okay. So, the David who was caught up to the throne, the Solomon that was caught up to the throne, the Jesus that was caught up to the throne, even in all of his prophets, they exercised that throne authority among the people of God. Okay, but that's the head of Jerusalem, not the body of Jerusalem. The body of Jerusalem, God told John, was the bride. Okay, can you see the parable? It's so simple. I mean, if you want to go and look, for instance, at Song of Solomon, who was caught up to the throne? Did you get that? Who? In Song of Solomon, who was caught up to the throne? Solomon. And who was the Shulamite, that is the perfected one, who was the Shulamite speaking about? The Shulamite was the bride. Let's see. I'm on 6 and 8. First of all, the Shulamite is running after the groom. Running after Solomon, the Prince of Peace. The one who was caught up to the throne. She wasn't caught up to the throne at that time, right? The queens and the concubines and the virgins that were ho-hum about running after Jesus, they weren't caught up to the throne. Who was on the throne? Yeah, the man-child. 6 and 8, there were 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. That's God's people. But out of them, he says this, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She's blemishless. She's spotless. She's blemishless. But she's only one. She's not the queens. She's not the concubines. She's not the virgins. And she's one. What does that mean? Peace among each other. Love among each other. Unity among each other. My dove, my undefiled, is one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. And the daughter saw her and called her blessed. And the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Sounds a lot like Esther, doesn't it? Because Esther's the same story. Esther was chosen out of the queens and the concubines and the virgins. Yeah. She was chosen out of those to be with the king who sat on the throne. Okay. She's called the Shulamite. Why will you look upon the Shulamite as upon the dance of the Mahanaim? You know, the Shulamite, the perfected one, the complete one. That's what it means. Same thing, undefiled. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. Okay, so there's the story. There's one sitting on the throne. The man-child is sitting on the throne. Are these queens, virgins, and concubines sitting on the throne? No. They're the woman. And they're in the wilderness. In the book of Esther. Esther came to the king. And he loved her dearly. And what did she do? Well, by the grace of God, for such a time as this, she came to the kingdom. Her and the man-child called Mordecai, which means little man, right? Man-child, little man, saved the people of God from the beast who was going to destroy them. But they had Purim instead. It was kind of like a Passover. In fact, it was just like a Passover. That was their job. Now, Mordecai was given the king's ring, which was his authority, which was his dominion. And he exercised that dominion by teaching the people of God that they could stand for their life against the beast. And the bride was with him in this. Just like Jerusalem is the bride, David, who ruled in Jerusalem, was the man-child. And the bride and the rest of the people of God, all Israel, was the church. They didn't fly away. The man-child was caught up to the throne. In Esther, Song of Solomon, the man-child was caught up to the throne. So why are people coming up with this goofy stuff? It's because they haven't read the Bible. They like that doctrine of not having to be responsible for anything. They like that they're going to fly away and they're never going to go through any trouble. But it's never been true, and we know history always repeats, and the people of God never, ever escaped the beast. Did you hear what I said? The things that have been are the things that shall be. The people of God never escaped the beast. Oh, we're going to fly away, Dave. We're not going to be here when the Antichrist beast takes over. Oh, really? Even the man-child had a job to do on the earth, just as David did. David sat on the throne of the Lord, and so did Solomon. And so did Jesus. And Jesus manifested through his disciples, right? He manifested through his prophets. Here, let me show you another little story here. Ezekiel 34. This is such a good story. Okay. Let's read, first of all, 34 and 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, even to the shepherds, thus saith the Lord. So people say, oh, that's talking to Israel. Who is Israel? We just read it over and over. Who is Israel? That's why the letter is the parable and the spirit is the translation. When you bring something into the New Testament, you have to rightly divide it. It's a parable. All the types and shadows are over there of the New Testament, but they've got to be translated, just like Jesus did and just like his disciples did. People today just want to bring it over in the letter. Okay, we are New Testament spiritual Israel. We're not natural Israel. Now, some things have been given to natural Israel, and you can't take that away from them because they were given by God. If you try to do it, he'll spank you. As we've seen, okay? But we have in the spirit what they have in the flesh. They were the fleshly parable. We are the spiritual translation of that. Okay? The things that happen unto them are for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And he was talking to the Christians. Okay, 34. So he was very upset all down through here with the shepherds. They had rebelled against God. They'd done their own thing. They had plundered God's people, just like they're doing today. They have scattered God's people, just like they're doing today. I'm going to start in verse 11. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I myself, even I, will search for my sheep. I will seek them out as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep. When's he coming among his sheep? Well, I can tell you one thing. He is returning in the man-child. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He is coming in the man-child. In both word and spirit, he is coming in the man-child. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this has got to be a demonstration that God can save to the uttermost, that he can save from sin, that he never left the signs and wonders and miracles, that he never left the fivefold ministry. Everything that the Bible says in the New Covenant is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They are changing him. But he's coming as a demonstration to them that he won't be changed. And we will believe exactly what Jesus said. He called it an eternal covenant. And they have changed an eternal covenant. They've added to it and taken away from it under the curse of the last five verses of the book of Revelation. If you add to it, I'll add to you the curses of this book. If you take away from it, I'll take away your part from the tree of life. Some of you people are following lost people. I will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered abroad, so will I seek out my sheep. I will deliver them out of all the places whither they have been scattered. And who scattered them? The shepherds. Who denominated them up into little groups? The shepherds. He said they were going to come and divide his flock. Whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them out from the countries. Now, you can say that about the natural Jews if they come out and they go back to their land, but you can say it about us too. We're coming out of America, of Germany, of Africa. We're coming out of all of these nations, which are not our nation. We are one holy nation. The nation of New Testament spiritual Israel, the church. Gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. You're not standing on the promised land if you're not standing on the promises. The righteous shall live from faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture and upon the mountains of the height of Israel. What's height mean? Heavenly. Heavenly. All right. Close to God, away from the world, shall their fold be. There shall they lie down in good fold, and on fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And this is going to happen, saints. The people are going to get delivered from these dead religions that have no power. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away, we're commanded. And you can't refuse the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and say you got power. Don't believe in healing? You don't believe that Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them? You don't believe that God has the power to do it? You don't believe God has the power to save you from sin? If you don't believe that, come out from among them. Go home and read your New Testament. All right? I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord. He said he was going to take them away from the shepherds. He was angry with the shepherds. He said, because they were no shepherd. And they fed not the sheep. Okay? And I will deliver my sheep from their mouth, he said. Right? Verse 10. I will seek that which was lost and bring back that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Justice is going to come against those fat leaders. Right? And as for you, my flock, thus saith the Lord, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have fed upon the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. Yep, their walk has destroyed the sheep. They figure it's okay with the pastor, it's okay with us. We'll walk the way he walks, right? Well, then you're fouling their water, right? Their word. And as for my sheep, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. They don't have a walk with Jesus. They don't walk by faith. Therefore, thus saith the Lord unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you thrust with the side and with the shoulder and push all the diseased with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. Now listen, and I will set up one shepherd over them. I, that is the Lord. Well, I thought he was going to shepherd his sheep. Well, if the Lord lives in a man, and he speaks through a man, who is shepherding the sheep? He is. He said, I will stand and feed my flock. You know, Zechariah. He will stand and feed his flock. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Well, now David was dead for a long, long time before Ezekiel came around. What David is he talking about? He used David as a parable. Notice the Lord said, I. So, and he's going to shepherd his sheep. But now he's going to use David. Why? David was a prophet. Christ spoke through the prophets. The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, was administering the kingdom through them. Okay? So, you have no need that any man should teach you. You have an anointing from the Holy One. We don't need men to teach us. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us. We need the Word to teach us. We don't need men. We don't want men to teach us. Men teach us things of men. Like Jesus said, told those Pharisees, you're from beneath, I'm from above. You know? Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, prince among them. So there is a David coming in these days, as there has in the past, and long time after David was dead, but he was a type and a shadow, and the things that have been are the things that shall be. There is a David coming. Remember, David was caught up to the throne. Okay? Not Jerusalem. David. Not the bride. David was caught up to the throne. The man-child's going to be caught up to the throne. And then he's going to feed them in the wilderness. Did you read it? He's going to feed them. Like Jesus went out in the wilderness. He was the man-child. He went out in the wilderness. He taught Israel in the wilderness. He was bringing them into His image by His words that He spoke unto them. Now, we're on a larger scale. Jesus is coming in a larger David, a body of David. He said He would multiply the seed of David. Why? It's a big world. It's a big world. God's people are scattered all over in all the nations, and He wants them to come out to their one holy nation. Right? My servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace and will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. Oh, yes. And they shall dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Oh, my goodness, they're going into the wilderness. Well, you can't help that. Israel had to go into the wilderness. When Moses, the man-child, had gone to the mountain of God and received from God His ordination, he went to the throne of God, got His ordination, and was sent back to the people to bring them to that mountain. He was the man-child. Moses was the man-child. Joseph was the man-child. David was the man-child. Jeremiah was the man-child. Ezekiel was the man-child. So now the man-child is suddenly the body of Christ. Well, no, it ain't going to work, and it don't fit anything in the Bible. And the woman is going into the wilderness here. Notice. But David is leading them, just like Moses, the man-child, did. David is leading them in the wilderness here. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about, the Lord uses me in types and dreams and visions sometimes as the David man-child. He uses me because of my name, David. And, of course, I desire earnestly to be in His man-child. And I'm not going to go beyond that right now. I will make them and the places round about them a blessing, and I will cause the showers to come down in its season, and you shall be showers of blessings. Well, that's the anointing. That is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on God's people. Remember, when they went into the wilderness with Moses, they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. You know what? If we go into the wilderness, there's going to have to be a baptism because 90%, 90-something percent of God's people have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. They've never been baptized in the cloud. And most of them don't even know what being baptized in the sea is. It's losing the old man. The old man, the Egyptian, had to die there. The new man came up on the other side. Okay? Your old man's dead. Now we've got a baptism of water and spirit coming. And oh, thank God, we wouldn't make it through the wilderness if it wasn't coming. God is so good and so merciful. Showers shall come down in season, and there shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield its fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase. Well, I got to say, for 2,000 years, the church has flunked the lesson. It hasn't yielded the fruit. And it hasn't come into the image of Christ, who is the fruit. The seed, which is the Greek word sperma, the seed of Christ is what was sown in the hearts of men to bring forth Christ in them. The seed is the Word of God, just as He said it was there. You must receive the Word of God into your heart. You must repent of following these dead religions. History has repeated. The people of God in Jesus' day had denominated into these groups. They all thought they were supergroups. They all thought they were in there. But not one of those groups recognized the man-child when He came. Not one. So he called to the remnant that was among these people. He called them out. He went into the sheepfold, John chapter 10, and He called His sheep by name, and He called them out of the sheepfold of apostate Judaism. And they came and followed Him, and He called them the church, the called out ones. Now, will you come out? Will you search the Bible and find out the truth? Don't be so lazy as to listen to these people that are making themselves teachers. They don't know who the woman is. They don't know who the man-child is. They don't know who the dragon is. I think next time we're going to talk about the dragon. So come out from among them. The Bible tells you who the dragon is. Specifically, it tells you who the dragon is. It tells you who the woman is. It tells you who the man-child is. Nothing fits with these people because they haven't studied the Word. Instead of making themselves preachers because they know how to make a website, they should be studying the Word and not lying to God's people. Judgment will come upon the liars. Lord, we ask you to grant your people repentance, open their eyes, and let them see the truth of what you're about to do on the earth. The sign of Revelation, of September the 23rd of Revelation 12, 1 through 6, is about to come to pass on the earth. The sign was a sign of what is to come, as I suspected and as I shared. It is a sign of what is to come. Now, the dragon is coming to devour. He wants to devour the man-child. He wants to devour the woman in the wilderness. There's only one way we're not devoured by him, and that is if we're devoured by the body of Christ. We want to be in the body of Christ, not in the dragon. If you're devoured by the dragon, you're in the dragon. You have become a part of his body. Less sad to say, many people have done just that. They've become a part of his body. All the while, they're talking about Jesus, 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 but they're really a part of his body because you can tell by the way they act, work, and the sins that they live in, and because they have no hope or expectation of coming into the image of Jesus. We must repent. We must read the word for ourselves. We must ask the Lord to lead us and guide us in truth. The types and the shadows in the Bible will never be broken. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The types and the shadows show the future. The New Testament shows the future. As God spoke to me, he said everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts is going to happen again, except the cast of characters has been multiplied. Just as he said he did with the seed of David. He multiplied the seed of David. David was the head. He was the one on the throne. He ruled over the bride, who in turn ruled over the rest of the 12 tribes. It was the capital city. And so it was in Esther. So it was in Song of Solomon. Please, the bride is not the church. They have lied. There's nowhere that the bride is the church. Now, have we all been given that position? Why, yes, we've been given that position, but we have to accept it and we have to believe it by faith. The word did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard. And now they're teaching you not to believe the word. They're teaching you have to throw that out. That's not for today. That's not for today. And that's not for today. And pretty soon you got nothing left but a dead church. And all they're teaching you is their experience. They haven't experienced coming into the image of Christ, so they can't teach you how to go there. And in order to soothe their conscience when they read the Word, they just have to ignore an awful lot of the Word. And they teach you to do it too. Repent. Repent. The man-child is coming. And notice, the people who came out of Egypt followed Moses. The people who came out of Egypt in Jesus' day followed him. The man-child, they're going to follow the man-child in the wilderness, and he's going to teach them. That's what it says there. And of course, the dragon is warring to devour the man-child and to devour the woman in the wilderness, but he loses his battle. The world is after us. The devil in the world is what the dragon is. If you just read it very carefully there, you'll find out that the dragon is the devil in a body of people. The dragon comes from the pit, but he inhabits a body. We'll talk about that body next time and exactly what it's trying to do, what its purpose is, and how the sign in heaven, which we've just seen, is going to be fulfilled in the next while. Let me say that the dragon just passed through Libra. That's still quite a ways off. There's a lot of distance between us and that. It is on the other side of the sun. And it's coming around the side of the sun and has become visible for a short time. And let me say, it's still got a long ways to go to get to us. But as I said earlier, the Revelation 12 sign does not happen in a day. There's part of it that happens, you know, the sign happens. Remember, Jesus came as a sign. The sign came before the manifestation. So we see the man-child here is a sign. It's a sign of what? Of a coming manifestation. He said, this is a sign. It's a sign of something to come. So there's quite a few things that happen in Revelation 12, 1 through, let's just say, 6. Quite a few things that happen. None of that could happen in just a day. Will it happen in just a day? We're talking about a series of things that are coming because this sign says so. Now, my only question was in the beginning, well, could the man-child be born on that day? And I said, well, he could. He could be born on that day. But also, a sign can come before the manifestation. And, of course, that's what happened. That's what I felt comfortable with in the beginning anyway. That the sign was coming and the manifestation would follow. And the manifestation is going to take a lot longer than that one day to fulfill. And as a matter of fact, the dragon is affecting the earth now. It's affecting all of the other planets now. And it's a sign. Okay, the planets are being shaken. They're heating up. No, it's not global warming. it's a solar system warming. The sun itself is upset. We're having all these manifestations on the earth we've never had before. And guess what? The dragon is here. He's in our solar system. And so keep on believing, saints, and let's study this. I'm going to share with you next time more about the dragon and maybe the woman too. I don't know. Just leave it up to the Lord. God bless you and thank you so much. Well, Father, we know that your word motivates. And when it just makes us rest in the flesh, we know it's not your word. We're highly motivated if we understand that God expects us to come into the image of Jesus because he made reconciliation. He made an exchange of his life for our life. And he that believeth is the one that's going to overcome. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Jesus, you told us what a believer was. You said these signs will accompany them that believe. They say no. They say no. The theologians say no. That all passed away. But you said, and you made it an eternal covenant, that these signs will accompany them that believe. And they don't believe you, Jesus, and they're not really believers because you identified a believer. So we ask you, Lord, to give us grace to understand and to believe what you say, that you expect us to come into your image and that the church is going to be emptied of people like that. The real called out ones are coming out of the sheepfold. And they're leaving the apostates there. And even as Jesus spoke to them that were claimed to be his disciples, in John 6:6:6, they turned and went the other way. He turned to his disciples and said, you going too, boys? He said, no, Jesus, you have the words of life. Where else can we go, you know? So there's going to be people departing. We've seen people departing. The dragon is bigger than you think. He has a body that includes the harlot. He has a body that includes all of those who fight against the true people of God. He has a body that's that big. They're part of his body. They've already been devoured, and they are a part of his body. And so they fight for him. They are trying to devour you, right? Thank you, Father. Thank you. Bless us today, Father, in the name of Jesus. All right. Good night, saints. We'll do this again. Bye-bye.